life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility, but driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
I had one of those unexpected days while driving today. I just kept seeing things that were not...
Is there a day when everything goes normally?
Well, yeah, kind of. You just commute and stuff goes on. But I kept seeing things, and I was like, did that just happen? Kind of thing. One of them was the fact I drove the Lotus, and so it was me and a bunch of SUVs. Yeah, why not?
It's been weirdly warm.
It's been terribly warm. The only good side being, hey, I can break out the Lotus.
Well, that's great.
But it's been 45 degrees, 50 degrees today, and so it was me and a bunch of SUVs driving around Salt Lake. That was funny. But so that happened, which is just a little oddball, but whatever. I loved it. I had this thought. You'll appreciate this. I've been driving the Mini for a month.
Yeah, right.
Haven't even really driven my wife's Cayenne, and that comes back up later. I got in the Mini this morning. I got in the Lotus this morning and kept thinking about how tiny the car was. I got out of a Mini. I
That's
kept thinking
awesome.
About how tiny the car
That's
was.
Awesome.
I'm so low. This is so tiny. It's awesome.
Well, you had the Mini and the Lotus parked in your garage the other day.
Yeah.
Because the Cayenne was gone for some reason.
Yeah.
And I walked in and went, you've got a huge garage. Tiny British cars.
Seemed massive. You're right.
Never mind.
So I was driving Lotus today, and I also had a very weird experience because if you've watched the Lotus piece from when I first brought it from L.A., I had it out of a balance wheel, and so the steering wheel always bounced.
Yeah, right.
Since then, I've gotten that fixed. I've gotten a really nice alignment. But on the freeway sometimes, that steering wheel still vibrates a ton, and I kept thinking, driving it today, getting in it after a while, is this a problem?
I mean, I think it's inherent to those cars, is it not? It's never going to be dead smooth because of the nature of the steering.
But I also got an alignment. That's kind of what I was thinking. I got an alignment that is just dead straight. I have no toe at all.
Okay.
It's just dead straight.
That's good.
So I got to a section of a back road I took that happens to be the rear section of the back road that's smooth.
Okay.
Took my hands off the wheel.
Yeah.
Glass.
Good.
My point is, the freeway is creating that much vibration. It's like I was going 20 on the glassy part of the road.
Sure.
I was going freeway speed still. It's just that car is so susceptible to any kind of road imperfections. It's telling you all about it. And the Mini, of all things, which is hardly exactly a car that isolates you, tells me none of this.
Yeah.
So that was interesting for
me. That's funny. I love it.
My mom has that disease of – she has a kid that is a car person. So she wants to relate.
Yeah.
She wants so hard to relate. And so she sends me random photos of cars she thinks are cool or neat or cute or
whatever.
I saw
the greatest car. It was white. Do you know what that is?
Exactly. My all-time least favorite one in this story, it didn't happen today, but don't think I ever told you this. After they first saw my Lotus, they went home. The next week, she sent me a photo. She was like, I just saw this in the parking lot. It looks just like your car. I open it up.
Oh, no.
It was a Saturn Ion.
Oh, no.
It just happened to be yellow.
Oh,
it was like, Mom,
of course.
Really? But anyway, so today she sends me a Tesla photo. Tesla Model X. She's like, this was really cool. It was in the parking lot. And I sat there jaw-dropped because it's the first photo I've ever seen or in person I've ever seen of a Tesla that did not have a personalized license plate. It just had a number on the back. Assigned by the state of California. Number.
There was no snarky nod to I'm off the grid or not using oil
or
somehow
thanks Elon or something. It's just I think per capita.
I carve my toothbrushes out of bamboo and I'm better than the rest of you.
But here's the thing. I'm actually not making a slight at Teslas. I'm just saying per capita, I would love to see the stat because I bet you it's 70% of Tesla owners got some sort of personalized message on their plate. And I don't think I've ever seen one.
I bet it's higher than that. I bet it's closer to 90%, 95%.
That's staggering. I don't think I've ever seen one prior to this photo that did not have a personalized plate on it.
I love that's what you noticed,
looking
too.
At the photo, and I was like,
what's wrong with this photo?
It's just a number. What? There's no hidden message. It's just
you mean
a
they
seven
just bought
followed
it and they're
by
just
seven.
Driving it and they're
it's
not.
It's craziness.
It's just a car?
So then I thought my weirdness of the day was over. I'm driving to your house just now. I brought my wife's Cayenne.
Okay. Oh, you brought the Cayenne.
I was so warm and insulated and quiet, I genuinely almost fell asleep. That was the first thing. And then the second thing was
brilliant.
One of the things that woke me up was I exited the freeway headed to your house, and in front of me was a Buick Cascada. That's the four-seat convertible Buick thing. I've never seen one on the road. Yes.
It lives here in my neighborhood.
It does. Yeah. I followed it into your neighborhood.
Yeah, he lives up the hill from me.
I've never seen one on the road.
Yeah, I see it every day.
35 degrees in Park City today, and I'm driving behind a Buick Cascada going, am I in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it's right here in my neighborhood.
That was weird. I've never seen one on the road.
That's
I've only
funny.
Seen one at auto shows. Someone bought one. It was right
it's
in front of me.
An Opel and the rest of the planet, but here it's the Buick. So
I wish it was a coupe. It'd be a better looking car. But anyway,
guess they like it. Well, yeah, it was so warm. I got the Porsche out on Tuesday. Took it down to Salt Lake, and it was delightful. I mean, crazy enough, we talk about winter tires. It was so warm and dry enough that the summers were great, as I'm sure you found too. Mm-hmm. So I had the Cayman out. Had some meetings in Salt Lake, and then I was coming back up the hill, and a brand new Kia Stinger latched onto me.
Really?
And hung out with me for all the way up the hill to Park City. And, you know, he's got more power than the Cayman. Everybody thinks, you know, for the way it looks, it should have 100 million horsepower.
Sure.
And it should just, as soon as I light the fires, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Well, no, there's a lot of cars that are actually faster, have a lot more power than that car. It's just, you know, as soon as we hit a canyon, goodbye.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There are some sections of 80 there that if you can hang with your car through those sections of 80, your car's halfway decent.
Yes, and there were the tighter sections that, you know, I was leaving him on those. He would drop back, but then he's got twin turbochargers, you know, 365 horsepower. I mean, he was just rocketing it behind me.
Yeah,
so we were hanging out at a really good clip. But I was just admiring the presence and stance of that car. It was in gray. It was fully loaded, all-wheel drive, GT, brand new. I don't know if it was his.
Who cares? You got
whatever.
To see it on the road.
Brand new tags, and I was just going, this car looks expensive and beautiful and classy. And
we so need to shoot that car.
We do. We do. I'm hoping to get it out of the press fleet for season 3.
That is a good point.
Which brings us to a lot of information.
We're already talking about season 3 because since season 2 is nearly done from our perspective as far as delivery is concerned, that means we have to shoot season 3 since that's supposed to be third quarter of this year. Yeah, we have to go shoot a bunch more stuff. But that actually, you're right, that does lead to hi, by the way, to you listening to the podcast. We're 20 minutes in, we're saying hello finally.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of actually TV updates. One is, let's see, you're hearing this on a Friday. Tomorrow is our only, not all new episode, but a great episode from last season, Alpha Julia versus M3 Competition Pack.
The Quadrifoglio.
Great road, great piece, a lot of really good engine noise in that one. That is happening on Saturday. If you haven't seen that piece, we highly recommend it. We hope you'll watch it, even if you have seen it, because it looks
really... We highly recommend our own stuff.
We do. No, because honestly, that's an episode I really
I had
like
to
that
tease
one.
Us
I know,
just
but
a
I really
bit.
Like that episode. It's really cool.
No, it is. It was a lot of fun.
Even if you've seen it, it looks
it
really good.
It was a lot
on
of high-speed driving.
Yeah, for sure. So that's happening, but if you don't have Velocity... Take hope.
Yes. Good news,
because,
everyone.
Because by the time you hear this, it will be season 2, episode 1, so the first episode of this season, will be available on Vimeo.
Yes.
In the weeks to come, we're going to keep dropping an episode.
It's finally here, yes. So, again, those of you who don't have Velocity, Vimeo is, of course, worldwide.
Yes, absolutely.
So you can now, if you don't have Velocity in the U.S., then, yeah, you can get it on Vimeo.
Now, that'll be available. There will be a charge for that. Now, if you want it free, it will be coming to YouTube. For any of you that are planning to buy the whole season, it'll be the next 6 weeks. Here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. The other thing to keep in mind, just so you don't go, hey, what just happened? In general, these YouTube episodes are going to drop once a month once we start.
Yeah, yeah.
They are going to have close proximity between when they're on Vimeo and when episode 1 drops on YouTube. It'll probably be like 2 weeks from now. So I don't want you to think, well, if I just wait a week or so, I can get it for free. No, then episode 2, if you think about it, will be a whole month away on YouTube.
Right.
So we can end up with we're going to shoot 12 episodes total this calendar year. Those 12 episodes are going to make up 12 months of YouTube content for big pieces to drop on YouTube, which seems to be the stuff that does the best for us on YouTube, even though YouTube is less friendly to us than ever before, but okay. That's okay.
We are also still investigating Amazon Prime Video as well.
Yes.
So still investigating that. Just keep waiting. News to come on that.
If that's your preference, I would say this. If that's your preference, that will probably happen around the time all 6 are loaded on Vimeo. And I'm saying that not because we're trying to stagger it out, but because we have extra pieces we have to deliver to Amazon, and that's just taking longer. Mm-hmm. So since they need extra elements, I'll get geeky. That'll take a few minutes. So I'm suspecting by the time it actually converges and hits Amazon, it'll be close to all being up on Vimeo.
Right, right. And then we've also got to post season one from... Season one.
Season one TV will be on Amazon
But the Velocity season on Amazon as well, Vimeo too. But also keep in mind, if you are a patron of ours, the Vimeo seasons will be free to you as a thank you guys for supporting us. So that'll be
at certain
a
levels.
Free code.
Not everybody.
Not everybody, certain but levels, yes.
But anyway, there's all of that information. Massive download. All of that to say, if you would like to watch the show, you now can. That's a nice idea.
Exactly.
We'd love it if you're watching Velocity, though, because that helps us for everything going forward. It helps us with viewership and sponsors and all of that. Speaking of our sponsors, last bit of business for right now, we do have Covercraft this year, which has been awesome. They've been great to us.
Yeah, they really have.
Griot's Garage, thank God. We've wanted to talk about them publicly
kidding.
Forever. You are practically already the prophet of Griot's Garage. Thank God we can talk about them. And, of course, Nathan, our friend over at Auto Tempest, has been really good about just building up his site and wanting to have us alongside him. So that's been really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Griots. Every time somebody says, Paul, how do you keep your cars looking so nice?
I go, now we can.
Now there it is. So that is the code every day for both Griots and Covercraft. Covercraft will give you free shipping if you use the code every day. Griots will give you 10% off your order
code
every day.
Which is really cool, yeah.
Check out those guys. But anyway, on to the car debate. We have two excellent debates.
Yeah.
One of them is actually, well, these are both very difficult. And they both got great stories. We've got Christian to start us off in Los Angeles. He found us when we joined Spike's Car Radio Podcast back in December and found us. And I think many of you have. We've actually been getting a lot of response from, hey, I found you on Adam's show or Spike's Car Radio.
Which is great. Thanks for
joining
us.
Didn't know. And now Christian says, I have friends that I can go bore with. You know, consider us your, you know, if
we
you
are those friends.
Talk about cars.
Yes.
Then, you know, you don't have to go unload on your best friend or your wife or your kids. And, Dad, could you stop talking to me about the cars you're thinking about buying?
Yeah.
Or the entire office or anybody that'll listen will listen. And thank you for writing, Christian. We're really, really thrilled.
You know, I get into conversations at the local car club here.
Yeah.
People walk up to me and ask me buying questions.
Oh, that's great.
It's just we're at Cars and Coffee.
So that's great.
So I was thinking about, you know, here's the other side.
A lot of it is validation, though.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm thinking about buying this. Do you think that's good? Yes, I do think that's good.
Exactly.
No, but here's
pat
the other
people
part.
On the arm.
Here's the other part of it. And look, obviously, we are not a political podcast. I want to mention an email we got in a minute. But we're not a political podcast. We're not talking about other news that's non-cars. We want this to be, if you will, an escape that is just about cars. That's
absolutely
important to us.
Yeah.
But here is the flip side. It is possible for me to have thoughts about things that are not cars. It's just now I'm the car guy everywhere I go. So whenever I'm in a public place, I never end up talking about anything else. There's a conversation about politics or going on in this corner, and over in this corner the party is talking about religion. I'm over here talking about cars.
I'd rather talk about cars.
No, that's fine. Every now and then I'm like, I could talk about something else, I suppose.
We do. But it's all the time for the podcast, of course. But
well, actually, this does bring up to an email that we got. And we've gotten a couple of these emails, literally like two in the last 6 months. But I want to mention this in case it happens to you, the listener. We got an email where somebody, they talked about how much they didn't like something they heard at the end of our podcast. And they talking about how it was political and they didn't like political commentary. And I went, oh, wait, I know what's happened. If you guys hear something that is not read by Paul and I, that is not mentioned or talked about by our voices, that's been added by an algorithm.
Yes.
That stuff is tacked onto the podcast. And here's where it gets even weirder. It's regional.
Yeah, it's local, regional. It can vary state to state. It can vary country to country, of course. I mean, everybody listening worldwide, you'll hear, of course, ads in different languages wherever you're at. It's designed that way to be specific, and it changes as you listen to the back catalog over time.
Totally.
It'll also change as well. That ad that you heard, you know, on an earlier podcast, that will have changed when you listen to it later. So that is, it's deliberate that way.
Our live reads don't change, but all the other stuff changes. I mean, literally, I've downloaded the podcast in California and gotten completely different ads than when I downloaded here.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's how it's supposed to work. My point here is this. If you hear a commercial you don't think goes with this podcast, or you hear a news item that you think is frustrating to you or whatever, that's not our doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, I hate to say this, because it's so regional and niche to your area, we also don't have a way to control it.
Yeah.
Now, if you find it egregious, we'd be happy to hear. I'm sure podcasts want to be happy to hear. They want to make sure stuff is tailored to you guys. But we got another email this week where somebody was frustrated about something they heard, and I realized it wasn't something we had control over. I just wanted you guys to kind of know how that happens, so that if it happens to you, you have a recourse or you understand what's going on.
It's algorithms. You're right. It's programming, and they just insert ads, you know. So, as you said, we don't have control, but we do have control over our suggestions for Christian.
This
as I said, he is in the parking lot that everybody worldwide calls Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. He can breathe again now that he's got
been honest about the level of traffic. And it is abhorrent, and it has gotten worse. And I don't say that because I moved out. I say that because the people I know that still live there are talking about how it's gotten worse.
Really? I think it's the proliferation of ride sharing. I think everybody has decided, you know what, I'm going to go make a few extra bucks, and I'll just turn on the app, and I'll cruise around and drive around. Well, now you've added to the congestion problem, helping the rest of us when we land at an airport and we want to go from hotel to hotel or get across town or wherever we're going. Of course, it's excellent.
Yeah.
It's revolutionized transportation.
For sure, for sure.
But, of course, it's added. I mean, I remember there was one guy. I looked up whatever it was, Uber or Lyft. I was looking at the app, and I found a car.
Okay.
And it was stationary. It wasn't moving around, and it was right across the street from my hotel. And I thought, oh, he's probably parked in a parking lot. And I looked over there, and it was nothing but apartment buildings. He sits in his apartment and turns on the app and waits because he lives right across the street from this hotel, and he knows people need it all the time. So he'll just turn it on, watching TV, and when somebody pops up, he'll walk out of his apartment, start his car, get in it, come across the street and pull through the hotel.
Unbelievable.
Take you where you want to go. But he sits in his house.
That's brilliant. That's actually brilliant. Yeah.
Anyway, so he's
taking advantage of his location for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, so back to Christian again. We digress. He has no garage. Mm-hmm. The kids, which there are three.
I love this.
Have a nice playroom, and dad has no garage.
Uh-huh.
He parks on the street or in the driveway.
Yep.
So get this. He says, in front of the house on public property is a 9-story tall tree that likes to do nothing but poop flowers on the cars below. Okay.
We've all lived somewhere where that happened to us. We've all lived somewhere where it was just you came out in the morning and went, what happened?
Where did that? I just washed the.
Yep. Always. Always happens.
So he also had a base Carrera 993.
Ooh.
Porsche 993, 20,000-mile car that was stolen from in front of this house when he parked it there for 15 hours.
Yep.
We are sorry to hear that. That's
no
massive
kidding.
Bummer.
No
so
kidding.
Obviously, there's some things around this debate. He doesn't get to hide it.
Yep.
So there's security. There's weather. There's cats walking over it and mice nesting in it maybe. And
easy. Yeah, but hopefully not.
Anyway, so there's problems. But he does have a good, healthy budget to spend here.
He does, which is great.
He's got about $50,000 to $60,000 to spend, which I promptly shotgunned up to $65,000.
Of course you did.
And
I'm not surprised.
I think I've got a really excellent choice here.
Good.
He owned a BMW E92 M3 manual in blue with the competition package. He says,
great car.
Yeah, shifting constantly, but he had the sciatica nerve damage in his left leg while he was sitting in traffic. So I think, Christian, you're open to manual, maybe?
But I think we're leaning automatic here.
But automatic is probably preferable.
LA is the automatic world. I mean,
it is.
I was even susceptible. Because, you know, I bought that 300ZX that I loved.
Yeah.
I was perfectly happy to buy it and use it in automatic. Was it a great automatic? No. Was I glad I had an automatic 5 days a week? Yes. The only time I didn't like having an automatic was the 100 miles I did on a Sunday morning. Then I wished I had a manual. The rest of the time, couldn't be happier to have an automatic. So, yes, you're sitting in traffic. Traffic's getting worse. I will give you the full pass on getting an automatic here. I think that is the call. He said his wife has a GL450.
Yep,
and
he Mercedes.
Has an X3, and they're both staying.
Yes, and he also had an 08 535. So if you haven't caught on yet, he's BMW guy.
That's happened a bit,
car
yes.
guy,
for sure,
actually.
Yeah.
All right, so he's got the kids. Back to the kids. He says, little people generally in need of a ride or attention or the milk. Oh, the milk.
Yes. Well, but we've talked before about, you know, whatever your interior is, if you have little, I mean, little ones, if you have little ones, whatever your interior is, that is going to be the recipient of something flying in a sippy cup or something getting projected out because their stomach isn't happy. I mean, you just have to, you have to accept the fact that this is life. And it so is. you have to have an interior that, it doesn't mean it can't be nice, but you have to be aware of the fact that it also can't be precious because something on this interior is going to be nasty at some point. The back of my wife's passenger seat in the Cayenne, which we try to keep clean, and my wife does
a great job of keeping clean. Yeah.
The back of that seat is in front of my son's feet.
Yeah.
It is impossible to keep the back of that seat clean. And yeah, he's not, at this point, a messy kid. He just gets in a way, by the way, in a way that adults no longer get into vehicles because we're just too big. He gets in sideways and he stands up and he spins around and he spins his jacket and then he kicks the seat and then he sits back and he gets his seatbelt and he kicks the seat again. It's like, you're doing a dance.
Just sit down,
buckle your seatbelt. We're done.
I love it. All right. So, Christian, welcome home. You said you're OCD with cars. You have found the right place, my friend. His family collects cars in all shapes and sizes, and he feels like it's his turn, but mm-hmm. the kids have kind of kept him from doing so.
Understandable, understandable.
So again, keep in mind, 50 to 60 grand, yep. maybe 65 for the right car. He gives us a laundry list of fun cars. I mean, these are all very good cars that are mm-hmm. very good contenders. I mean, we're talking Audi R8s, Mustang GT350, mm-hmm. M2, M3. The Lotus Evora S is on here, too.
I noticed that.
Christian, you've clearly been doing some shopping. You've been listening to the podcast.
Well, but that's the problem. He shopped himself into oblivion. He shopped himself into a place where he's paralyzed. I mean, he also is intrigued by the Alpha 4C, the Jaguar F-Type, the Nissan GTR. What about a 997 4S? Hey, maybe a Hellcat. Oh, look, they have M5s. I mean, this is talk about a disease that you practically have a fever right now. It's all bad. So we need to see if we can focus this a little bit and get you a car that will do all of these things. Because let's be honest, the Jaguar's on here, the 4C's on here. There are cars that are only two seats on here, but they're few and far between. Hopefully it needs to have a little bit of usability, even though, thank God, that X3's staying. So you're going to have two cars that can haul kids. Mm-hmm. Either one of you can haul kids today, which is okay. So hopefully it's fun, but it can't be – we're not buying you an Elise. Let's put it that way.
No, that's for sure. And you'll notice on this list of emailed cars here – he has it's not a negative thing to say. It's just more of a reason that he's considered it, but it's kind of off the list. And he's done that to every car except for the Jaguar F-Type. Mm-hmm. He says the R version from CarMax actually kind of feels like the right mix. You know, maybe this one? And so before we even begin, good thing we know the nice folks at Covercraft because honestly, for both the security reasons and parking outside under that 9-story tall tree – you're going to want to get something from them to protect that thing. Whatever it is, you end up getting.
You're right. I mean, that's the thing is that I'm parking that Mini outside now and I have a cover for it. And I am surprised at how well that cover fits.
It's great.
And that is the key to parking under this tree. That really is.
Yeah.
And forget for a second that Covercraft is a friend of ours and helped us get the TV show going. Forget that for a second. You need a car cover.
Yeah,
you just do.
Absolutely.
You're parked underneath a tree.
Absolutely.
Luckily, because of Covercraft and our connection with him, we can help you save you a little money, and their covers are great. So it works out both ways. But there's really no way to defend other than covering that car up somehow.
Yeah.
There's just no way around it.
Agreed. Well, Christian, I've got three choices for you, and the Jag is on my list. So that is choice number one. I'm backing your play there because you've had BMWs. Mm-hmm. You're saying Alpha 4C, back problems. You like the 993 or the 997 Carrera idea, but, you know, everybody in LA has one for the wrong reasons.
In silver and black. Yes.
Silver and black and, you know, Lotus Evora, parking outside, the M2 feels too small.
Which I'm surprised by, that the M2 is too small?
That
really?
That's the right car, I feel. That's up there, but it's not on my list. So where I went, keep that in mind. The second place is the 2007 Aston Martin Vantage for $46,000.
Yeah. Or get a newer one and spend closer to the top of your budget.
You
but
could.
Why not?
You could.
I agree with you.
Get it in the automatic, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. will buy that car for the engine note alone. Christian, you will weep every time you start that car.
Wow.
With
that's
tears
a throwdown.
Of,
that's a throwdown.
Of joy and of pleasure.
I hear
and,
you. But you need to back it off a bit.
I hear you.
Yeah. Well, but this is a great alternative to that Jaguar F-Type. It really is a which one would you prefer. Yeah. Obviously, the Jaguar is going to be a lot newer, but which one did you prefer? I think the Aston's going to feel more like an event. And I say that knowing that the Jaguar feels like an event.
I agree.
I mean,
I
it's not like, oh, this is fine and the Aston's cool. The Jag is really cool.
Yeah, it's way up there. And I'm with you, you know? The German cars, everything you've listed, it'd be fun, but I just don't want you to think, okay, yeah, I could see it. It'd be fun for a few weeks, a few months, and then what? I don't want you to come to that place. I want you to have this enthralling excitement every time you think of that car that's mm-hmm. parked out in the driveway, or ideally in the driveway, not in the street. So my first choice for you, I had to look back.
Okay.
And we've talked about this car a lot on the podcast before, but it's an Acura NSX.
Ooh.
You can get a lot of NSXs that are
top quality.
For 60 to 65, you've got, yes, a plethora of choices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm finding white ones with the tan interior with 33,000 miles.
Ooh,
and
that's pretty.
You know, original 92, 93s, the Targa tops, I'm, you know, 50,000 miles.
I mean,
brilliant shape. They've, of course, been covered indoors. They've been babied. The car will be just like the car was intended. It'll feel like a Honda Accord cruising around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you're going to be tempted by Malibu and all the canyons out there. And just go.
Yeah.
Get on PCH and just drain the gas tank. Yeah, honestly.
I mean, that's really one of the struggles here is that Christian's talking about how he really isn't going to do much but commute in this car. And Christian, I'm going to encourage you as best I can. Have a conversation with your wife. Hi, wife. Have a conversation with, because she's probably listening at this point.
I'm sure.
Hey, honey, listen to what these idiots said. Anyway, no, but have a conversation with your wife and figure out, can you carve out, is it a Sunday morning? Is it a Sunday afternoon? When is it that is an off time that you can, I'm not sure what part of LA you're traveling to and from, but see if you can get yourself, there's roads probably a half hour from wherever you live. Wherever you are in LA, there's probably a good road roughly a half hour away.
He's
talking about Culver City and Burbank, and so yeah. That would put him up in the valley where a lot of the best roads are. You can get up Highway 2
out of La Cañada.
You can go west and get out to, there's so many roads out in the Malibu range of things. So much of Mulholland and all of that.
That NSX comes in automatic, too.
You can find them with
automatics.
I guess my point is, I really hope you'll get some opportunity to just go, even if it's for an hour or so, get some good drives in regularly in this car mm-hmm. to remind you why you can be a car guy and not just sit in traffic. And I'm not – look, a lot of times we talk about tracking and that kind of stuff on this podcast. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about you live where some of the best roads in the nation are closest to one of the biggest cities in the world.
Yeah.
Just –
it's true.
Steal yourself away for a bit. Figure that out because I think you're going to love whatever car you get a lot more and appreciate it a lot more because it's not just a traffic appliance. I still want you to enjoy it in traffic, and that's why we're trying to walk that line. But all the stuff we're talking about, Aston Martin Vantage, go for a cruise on Mulholland? Yes, please. When can I do that? Jaguar F-Type? All of the NSX is brilliant, though. I hadn't even thought of that. I love that.
For 60 to 65,
You get a nice one.
There really are.
And it's just going to run.
I'm shocked. It's going to run.
Yeah.
It'll be fine sitting outside. Under a cover,
yeah,
please. But honestly, I mean, automatic, manual, take your pick. There's loads of choices. Mostly they're in red and white, which is fine.
Yeah.
Great. I'm loving that because I think, an NSX, I mean, how cool is that? Comfortable. But, just such an amazing car, such a fun car. So that's where I'm at. Those are my top three.
All right. I've got a few to talk about here for Christian. I want to speak to the 997 Carrera real quick. It is, we've talked about the hierarchy cars in LA. You start as an assistant, you're driving a Civic or whatever, right? You're driving that kind of appliance car.
Yes.
And then you step up and you're now in a 3 Series.
Oh, yes.
You might branch out and get a C-Class, but you're generally in a 3 Series.
It's like the food pyramid.
It is kind of like that.
Only for cars.
And still in silvers and blacks. You can't, why would you get a color? Why would anybody do that?
I don't understand.
And then if you step up from that, there's one of two things. Do you need utility, and then you got a Range Rover in silver or black, or do you want I'm a flashy, more sports car person, and now you got a 911 in silver or black? This is kind of the parking lot of your typical studio executive. That's kind of what happens there.
Pretty much.
Here's the thing. I think a 997 is a great idea for you. Go get a bold color. Get a yellow, get a red, get a really bright blue. Buy a gray one and wrap it in something nice and
purple.
Awesome. It doesn't matter. My point is, what's going to separate that car out is you just got a color that says, yes, you're right, this car comes in a color. Okay? You're the brightest thing in four cars around you in all directions because everything else is silver and black. then that 997 is decent. I think you'd really enjoy it. I do think it's a prospect for you, and the PDK is your friend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you'd like that. I'm going to back your play on the Jaguar F-Type. The NSX is interesting. I wanted to talk about a couple others that aren't on here.
Okay.
If you're going to look, you're looking for a fun car, okay? And you mentioned on this list that the two cars that intrigue you are the Mustang GT350.
I noticed this.
Cool, but best of luck getting one at cost, and I really want you in an automatic. That's right. I just said I want you in an automatic sports car.
Is that the T-shirt?
Yes, exactly. So GT350
is that Uncle Sam pointing at you? I want you in an automatic.
Frightening.
Oh,
yes.
No.
But then the other car you mentioned in passing is you just kind of. I feel like the way this car is mentioned in here is you just kind of laugh at it as you go by, like, wouldn't that be cool? And then you think you're insane. And that
right.
is the Dodge Challenger Hellcat. Which says to me, those two cars being on your list say to me, and both of them you kind of treat with the same way, which is, would I kill myself for this car? Would that be the death of me? Would this be my coffin? I mean, that's kind of your question. So that tells me that
you certainly could.
Yeah, that tells me there's a part of you that really like that kind of muscle car flair.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, all right, two cars you need to go drive. Go drive a Camaro SS1LE. I'm not talking ZL1. The SS1LE. Load out a Camaro SS.
Okay, yep.
That car's going to be great. You can get it in the auto, go drive it. See what you think of the visibility. I suspect the thing that's going to hinder that car for you to drive it every day in Los Angeles is going to be the visibility and traffic. But it's a cool car.
Exactly.
And it's the Hellcat with slightly less madness in the engine. Only slightly. Slightly less madness in the engine, and it's not quite the big bruiser that the Hellcat is. But that led me somewhere else that I like even better.
Okay.
You're looking at the Jaguar. Paul's brought up the Vantage, which is also really nice. Please, Christian, please, please, go drive a C7 Corvette.
Mm.
You could spec that out any way you want for your budget. You could just go get one. It's right in your budget line.
Yeah.
You got to get the Z51 pack.
With the Z51, that's a must.
But you can get that in auto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a perfect world, you'd have it in a manual, but that's not what we're talking about here. Get it in an auto.
Interesting.
That car's great. Really take a serious look at the C7. I think it's worth it.
I think it's worth a drive to destroy all your preconceived notions about that car, Christian.
Well, and I also...
At least a drive. Before you throw it out and go, Corvettes, blah, whatever.
But I also wonder this. He thinks the M2 feels too heavy. Not a C7 problem. I mean, feels too big.
Well, he was saying the M2 is
too small.
Yeah, actually.
And doesn't want the M3. Feels like the M5 is too big. I mean, we're wrestling all of these things. But the Jaguar survives in this discussion. Two seats, smallish car. So
yeah.
It's like, all right, that C7 is every bit the same size. And I also wonder, you're concerned, you kind of mention and then take out the Evora and the Alpha as too small, maybe too finicky, but those are straight up sports cars.
Mm-hmm.
I think the C7 walks that line of, you're not going to feel too precious, like, wait, I can't touch it. What if something happens? It's just going to run. But yet it still maintains the kind of exotic thing you've leaned toward and then walked away from in things like the R8, the Evora, the 4C, the straight up sports cars. It's got that.
Sure.
So that's why I really like the C7. And then I have one that isn't on here, and I thought, okay, you're a dad, kids, usability, fun, traffic, commute.
Yeah.
Sedan.
Yeah.
Alfa Giulia, Quadrifoglio.
Interesting, but I don't think they're 65 yet.
It's going to be 70.
I think that's the Achilles heel.
It's going to be 70
right now.
But I thought that's
a good choice.
Really interesting. He's a BMW history.
Yeah.
I think it plays right into that. But I wonder about a lease, because then he doesn't have to worry about reliability.
True.
Can you afford a lease? Can you get one for a couple of years and just see if you like this car?
Get and stolen,
it's an auto.
Go get another one.
And it's
like
an auto.
Potato chips.
That's terrible.
They're Pringles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A can of Giulia.
No one can drive just one. Anyway, no.
Fresh tennis balls.
But I really do think, there you go, I really do think that it's worth taking a look at, seeing what your lease options are. I mean, I feel like everybody that I knew leased a car in L.A. anyway and wrote it off. So go look at a Quadrifoglio, see what you can get for a lease price. I know the lease prices aren't cheap, but
that's
it might be a way to sample that car.
That's up there. Yeah. It's up there, but that's really, I like the idea. All right. Well, Christian, you've clearly got some driving to go do. Please let us know if you're so inclined. And if you've got your own debate, please write to us at everydaydrivertv@gmail.com. Many of you are. Thank you so much. Even if it's just drop us a line, hey, what's on your mind? We love reading all those emails.
For sure.
If we cannot get to yours, we apologize, but we do look for great stories And we do our best. Let's just put it there.
And one of us is reading them either way.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And there is a torrent, and we've asked for it, and we're glad.
We've
thank you for writing
deliberately
in. And also,
asked for it. Yes.
Thank you to all of you that are rating and reviewing the podcast. That's a growing number of you as well. So thank you so much. If you haven't yet, we would really appreciate it. It helps keep us in the top 10, more people finding us, just like Christian did, which is great. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes, agreed. Well, guys, we're going to take a break, and we shall come back.
Here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve the gas mileage. Why? Because the car is now lighter. And you can place your key fob on your chin or against your temple and increase its range. Weird, right? Well, here's another tip you might not be aware of. TrueCar also helps people get used cars.
That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used.
And with TrueCar, users can see what other people paid so they know if they're getting a good deal before they're buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with a TrueCar certified dealer. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list.
And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% on your car insurance, or maybe even more.
Got extra money in your pocket? This just may be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Let's talk about your bucket list for a minute. That's right, your bucket list. You know what should be on it? A trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500. I'm not talking any trip, but the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. That's even in quotes. This is exactly what AMSOIL, maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One lucky grand prize winner will win the trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. That's right, that's not all. Listen to what else awaits this grand prize winner.
There's pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access, suite access to watch the race, $1,000 in cash for incidental travel or event-related expenses, round-trip airfare for two people to and from Indianapolis, Indiana, hotel accommodations for two people for five nights at a hotel near the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, ground transportation to and from the airport, hotel, and speedway, and multiple chances to meet the drivers. Just like they do when making high-performance synthetic motor oils, AMSOIL went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. And if that's not enough, 10 first-place winners will receive one free digital download code for the Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. To enter the AMSOIL Ultimate Indy 500 fan experience, text INDY to 41487. That's INDY to 41487. Or you can visit AMSOIL.com/INDY.
We're back with Thomas, who's writing into us from Dallas. My wife is from Dallas. I might return to Dallas soon. I'm wondering, yeah. Honestly, here's a half-serious question. Dallas listeners, here's a half-serious question. If I was going to be in Dallas in the near future, and I might be.
Hypothetically speaking.
No, but I might be because family stuff and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering about a very casual dinner-related meetup. If there's interest, send us a message on Facebook. I'd be very curious to hear.
I think you definitely should.
I'd just be very curious to know what the interest level is. I mean, mm-hmm. It would be very extremely informal. Hey, I'll be at this restaurant, but I wonder.
How far is Dallas from Austin? Like, can you do a reconnaissance out Dakota? Any time for that in the schedule?
It's about 3 hours, about 2.5, 3 hours.
Okay.
Probably not going to happen, but I hear you. So that's a side note. But so Thomas is writing in from Dallas, and his description is, okay, first-time buyer of a car. Wants a small car for a big man. Should he get a manual? What's the best color for hot climates? This is the headline. And then it gets nuts. Thomas says, small car for big man. That normally I think me. No, no. No, no, no.
He's like 1.5 times the size of us.
Yes. He describes himself as NFL-sized, 6'2", 330 pounds.
330? Thomas, you're a big guy. You are not kidding.
Yeah. Currently drives a black 2008 1500 Chevy Silverado 4x4 crew cab.
Also a large truck.
Because it's Texas. And because that car is not going anywhere and it will never die, and he's put a bunch of money into it. And that's the forever car. That's just like, I live in Texas. I'm a big guy. I have a truck. Done.
Mm.
That exists. But now he's shopping small sports cars.
This is an amazing
And I'm reading this
debate.
Thinking, amazing. Sure you are. You're shopping small sports cars. And then he talks about he found a Mazda Miata and fell in love. And I'm sitting here with this visual thinking about how uncomfortable I am in a Mazda Miata and still loving them and going, Thomas, hats off, man.
How wide are your shoulders? And I'm thinking, how wide is the Miata? I mean, are you going to have to turn it into a McLaren in center seating position?
Just about.
Man, this is an amazing story here. Thomas, thank you for writing in. And as Todd said, he is looking at Miatas. His debate is that he drives a lot for work, so 300-plus miles in a week, which is a lot. And he says even though he gets reimbursed, he says, well, it really kind of gets old spending $100 a week on gas. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's every bit of that. Now, he was looking for just, you know, fix the truck, get a new car. Then he found our Mazda Miata reviews and then wrote in. So here he is. He's wanting something higher miles to the gallon. Well, anything past
it's a
that
low,
truck
it's
is
a low, low bar.
Is easy.
We will that's one place we will succeed, Thomas. Wherever we go, we will succeed there.
It also has to be a convertible, and he says a light throwable. Our word is chuckable, but throwable works. Take him around town and sometimes out of town for work-related activities. Pretty much the exact opposite of that truck. So, he says...
And also, by the way, Thomas, you... And I say this, I'm looking at myself and Paul as well. We are not the body types these cars were built around.
No.
So, it's a massive sacrifice. We have a guy, I've actually got a question coming up from him later, Corey, who was on our last pilgrimage trip.
Yes.
Corey's about 5'9".
Yeah.
Corey is that perfectly sized person. Zach Clapman, that's on Smoking Tire.
Zach
exact
is
same
the same
thing.
Size.
They're the same size guy. These are the exact perfect person you want to be. That's the size
they
for you
have
if you
clothes,
would like to have.
Clothes and shoes and your size.
Clothes, shoes, and you fit in every car.
Yeah.
And tell Corey. Corey wrote in a long time ago for his boss, Jack. We did a car debate for Jack. Jack's taller than we are.
Oh, yeah.
And Corey said to me he's privately on – not so privately now, but he said privately on the pilgrimage trip. He said, you know what? Before I started working with Jack and listening to you guys, I'd never thought about, will you fit in this car? It never crossed his mind because why would it? Because he is essentially the analog for the size person you build a car around.
Perfect size.
You and I are not, and neither is our friend Thomas. That's where this gets really difficult.
Okay, so this truck, he uses it to move stuff around. He goes duck hunting and camping a fair amount, and he said, it's going to look ridiculous when I show up in waders and all camouflage and everything in a Miata.
I still really want you to. I just do. That's an image that I want to see. That's perfect.
Can you at least send a picture? Whatever car you get, Thomas, can you just send us this photo? Anyway, all right. So he's thinking Miata, but he's writing to us for the choices in a $12,000 budget range. High MPG, think convertible, fun sports car. He's been looking at big man modifications. I'm guessing that means drop the seat or
generally,
you know, take a Sawzall and cut the entire center console out.
But new seat rails is the most common one.
Take the inside door panel out, you know, for your shoulders to fit.
You know what? I'll actually give you one, Thomas. And I don't know how you're built, but here's the thing. A very common one is to put the Lotus Elise seats in a Miata.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Guys have gained like 4 to 6 inches doing this of headroom.
Well, yeah.
Because those seats are so
mechanicals.
Tiny.
Yeah.
And all they do is slide forward and back. They don't do anything else. So you're tall enough, that could work. I find that really interesting. And what's fascinating is when you see pictures online, go ahead and look it up. You see pictures online of this being done. They look great in a Miata. A lot of cars, you know, you put other seats in, and if it's not the factory seats, it never looks quite right.
The size and proportion doesn't fit what was intended. Yeah.
The Miata looks great with Lotus seats. That's like the ultimate tall man mod for the Miata, but you can get just lower seat rails to get you a couple inches most of the time. Or there's like a they call it the foamectomy or whatever. You take pieces out of the seats, and there's all kinds of ways to do it. Yeah.
Or you can just sit on phone books, right? Just take the seat out.
Perfect.
Sit on a couple
That's
of phone books.
That's going to be perfectly safe.
You're good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What could possibly go wrong? Okay, so he's also asking the last question is, what is the best color for hot places? He said this black truck is kind of like driving a skillet when it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I also kind of envision Thomas as the kind of guy that can tear a skillet in half, actually.
Possibly.
He's so
well,
big.
But let's just answer that question real quick. The opposite of black. Go silvers, whites, yellows, possibly even a bright red. The brighter colors reflect. They definitely just reflect the color. And if you want to get like a sunshade, you can get a sunshade when you're parking your car. Covercraft has those. But that's another option as well. I mean, in the summer months, I swear by that sunshade. I never thought I'd like it. But when I go down to Salt Lake to work sometimes, I park in a place where the car is facing the sun all day, mm-hmm. like the windshield is. That sunshade makes all kinds of difference. And I'm not in Texas. I am from Texas, and I wish I'd had a sunshade. I'm just saying.
No kidding. Or you could just bring eggs and have breakfast all the time.
You could, yes. But go with the bright colors. That's the solve. That's the solve for sure.
All right. So, Thomas, I came up with five choices for you.
Good grief.
$12,000. I only pushed on one of these choices, and I'll get to that shortly, but I love your Miata. I actually found the third generation NC MX-5 Miata. It's a 2009 with only 50,000 miles with a manual transmission. That's something else that he's mentioned to us about, maybe I should go learn to drive a manual. I think it would ramp your sports car driving experience up tremendously.
It would,
for sure. I think you should learn. I think you should investigate this. All of these cars that I'm suggesting, well, exception of one, you could get in an automatic. But I think to keep pushing yourself, you're going to sports car, let's go manual too.
Possibly. I think it depends. I think you're going to have to drive these cars because I've got options in both categories as well. I think you're going to have to drive them in both and have a serious thought about how you're going to use it. Because you're going to use it like Christian that we just talked about. You're going to sit in traffic a lot. You're going to hate you have the manual.
Yeah, but Dallas is a concrete jungle.
If it's going to be more of your fun car, then I'm going to definitely push you toward manual.
Well, that's
kind of
how you're
using it.
You said I'm going to get out of town, road, maybe.
But if he's going to commute a lot in it, that's where I really and that's the thing we can't answer is how much does he think he'll use
right.
it. But most of these cars that I'm going to list, I think, are both ways. So it's good to have the option for sure.
Okay, so back to this Miata, $12,000. I found it at Breakaway Honda in Greenville, South Carolina. It's ready to go for sale. $12,000. Wow, if you don't buy it, somebody needs to buy this car. It's fantastic. It's the sport and manual, on and on and on. It's great. I also looked at the 2007 Mercedes SLK 280.
Ooh, interesting.
Now, this is an automatic.
All right.
And also very sports car-like. You mentioned also that you're not really into the Mustang Camaro thing, which seems like a natural choice. You're leaning more towards the Miatas, the Z3s and Z4s of the world. So that was in my mind.
The little stuff. And I applaud you. Stuff. I really do, yeah.
So then that led me, your suggestions here led me to the 2000 BMW M Roadster. If you're going to get a Z3, get an M Roadster. Get the more power, get everything, those wider fender flares, muscular car. I actually like the stance of that car a lot better. I like the Z3 when it is the M Roadster. $12,000, honestly. I mean, those might have a little bit higher mileage, but okay. I mean, take care of it, drive it. I think they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Led me to an early Porsche Boxster, say a 986 Boxster.
That was the top of my list right there.
That's up there.
List.
A lot of those cars came in silver, which would be a lot cooler.
It would be. Yeah, it wouldn't be hotter.
My wildish kind of choice for you to investigate is a 2010 Nissan 370Z Touring Roadster, manual transmission. I found one in red.
Did
for
you?
Just under 14K.
Good, good, good.
So this is interesting.
You and I got close to the same places on this.
There's choices out there, and when you really start thinking this through, there's more choices than you think. You don't have to gravitate towards Mustang and Camaro, even though
true.
Sure, it could be easy, but I love that you're looking at the small stuff. I don't think an Elise is in your future.
Really, really isn't. Yeah,
but those are my choices for you. I kind of dig the SLK; that could be an interesting choice, but I could definitely see you rocking the M Roadster. 2000
I like
M
that.
Roadster.
That's good.
Blue.
That's really good. Yeah,
those are cool
they
cars,
are cool. They
and
are
they've
cool.
dropped in price. If they've been driven, if they're pristine garage queens, then no, they're going to be $20,000-$30,000, but. But otherwise, I'm thinking that.
Interesting. I'm kind of all over the map here a little bit, but we got close on a few.
Okay.
I've got a wild card I want to bring up at the end because I'm just kind of like, huh. But one of the things I did is I'm not all in convertibles. I want to get you cars that are fun to drive. And I want to get you options of things that, maybe a step bigger than the stuff you're looking at because you might need the room. Because the Miata is glorious.
For your left shoulder, you mean?
Exactly. So you can put both shoulders in the car.
Right.
The Miata is great for this 10 minutes, but what about when you've got a 10-hour drive?
Yeah, true.
It's that kind of stuff.
True.
So I've got some bigger stuff on here as well. One of the big ones I want to mention that is not a Camaro or Mustang, but is, I feel like, the big man sports car that gets overlooked and you can get them cheap, Pontiac GTO.
You can. It's not a convertible, but okay.
No, but a lot of room in that car.
Gobs.
Powerful, 400 plus horsepower, depending on the spec you get.
Yeah.
Good chassis, good handling chassis.
Those seats are large, by the way.
It's a big car. It's a big car for anybody. I mean, it's a nice, good size 2+2. So it's worth taking a drive in. I know that I've left a lot of what you're asking for, but I'm just trying to think about usability for you too. Hmm. And if you're going to commute in it, if you're going to commute in it a 100-degree day in Dallas and just really be glad you've got the top closed, you know what I mean?
Well, and the air conditioning going.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just wondering. Yeah. So that's an option there. I know another non-convertible, but I really think you have to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you driven the 86? I mean,
that's a good one.
Go drive the 86 platform honestly, when we've done some back-to-backs, we did one. I mean, this episode one of season two has an 86 and a Miata side by side. And what's fascinating is when you get in those two cars, they're fairly close in scale to each other when you see them. They're within a few hundred pounds of each other in weight. You climb in the 86 and you wonder where it found that much room.
Mm, yeah.
It's flat out roomy by comparison to a Miata.
That way it is. Otherwise,
so in that regard,
it's tiny, but
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It still checks the box of being a small, lightweight, interesting sports car.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I think it might add a usability factor that would be worthwhile for Thomas. So I think you have to drive that.
Okay, good.
I'm closer to the Miata world in that regard. You're talking about used convertibles. You want sporty. You want, you know, options. It needs to be 12 grand. What about an E46 M3 convertibles? The convertibles are cheap.
That's true.
The
hardtops are actually...
The hardtops are hanging on to money, getting traded, exact kind of thing. But the convertibles, there's a ton of them, and they're just cheap.
Are they 12 grand? Good ones?
Oh, yeah. They're cheap.
Wow.
They've been running 4 to 6 grand cheaper than the hardtops the entire drop. When you think about the fact you can find E46s now for under 20.
Interesting.
So look at an E46 convertible because you think, well, an M3 is too big for this discussion. But not the E46 now is a small-ish car. That's got the scale of it like an 86 if you think about it.
Well, I mean, the M3 has grown over the years. Mm-hmm. That's
absolutely
for sure.
So I think that's worthwhile. You brought up the 370. I wanted to say go any of the Zs, 300ZX or 350.
Could.
Shop those cars.
Could.
They're affordable. They're great fun to drive. They've got a good amount of space. You know, convertible 300ZX is a cool car. I honestly would say to you, don't even get a convertible. That car's got T-tops.
It does. I never liked the 350 convertible. I never liked the look of it when the top was down. That's why I like the 300, but that's why I pushed on the 370.
No, if you can get the 370, 370 over 350, it's the newer, better, refined car. I get it. But 300ZX.
Yeah, that'd be cool, actually.
You could find the nicest one in Dallas for 12 grand.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's got T-tops.
Yeah,
so problem solved when we want to be convertible. But also the roof, trust me, I drove one all the time in all weather. That roof closes up wonderfully well.
The car is also wider than you think.
Yeah.
It actually has some girth to it.
It's got a good amount of space in it.
Low.
Yeah. It feels like a much lighter car. It weighs over 3,000 pounds. Doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
So I think the 300ZX is a really good option. I want to put that out there. And then I have a wild card where I was just thinking, okay, it's not a convertible. You can get them. It's a pretty impressive GT sports car experience.
Okay.
Porsche 928.
I love it.
I'm in total wild card territory.
I love it.
But that's got power, presence. It's a great chassis. It's fun to drive. You could commute in it. They are stupid cheap right now. Granted, one just sold on Bring a Trailer for like 90 grand. So they're starting to turn.
Yeah, not the ones that I've been looking at. They're not. But
yeah, well, exactly. But this is why it's wild card. It may be out. Because three or four years ago, they were all 12 grand. Now they're starting to climb.
I wish I had mine. I sold mine for 15. I wish I had it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably wild card right off the map. But I'm just E46 M3, 300ZX, those are, I think, viable.
There's tasty cars out there.
Please drive an 86, and maybe you end up being the world's largest man and the world's greatest Miata. That might happen, and that's fine. I'm all for it. I really am.
And if so, please, photo, will you please?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
We have to see this. Anyway, well, onwards to questions. We are jumping over to social media, guys. Thank you so much for writing questions. I love that TDC is very much a thing. People are asking, why are you talking about Top Dead Center? What is this, an engineering show now? So there's on Instagram, KevinBell7 is actually breaking away from that, asking about bikes. And he said, you know, he knows we're both into mountain biking. Would you rather spend $8,000 or more on a mountain bike or a car? And what cars would you buy or what bike would you buy? I think bikes are on his brain. I mean, you can go like 15, 13,000 on a carbon bike that is, I mean, they're amazing, but that's got to be, you're a pro racer, or, I mean, if you're a pro racer, you're sponsored and they're given to you. But,
hopefully, yeah.
You know, I can't justify more than a couple grand, and a couple grand will get you a really nice bike.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I
got my bike used, and I love it, but I'm realizing that I am outgrowing it as a rider, and also realizing that as a person, I need a slightly larger bike. I have a large frame, and I need an extra large.
You
frame.
Need an XL.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's that. But I'm realizing that my next bike purchase is going to have a comma in the number, and that kind of horrifies me.
I mean, even at $1,500 is sort of like, okay, for a nice bike, you got to go like $1,500.
And that just hurts. I have so much trouble. And I'm a guy with thousands of dollars worth of climbing gear that I've accumulated over the years. And I guess that's the thing. I accumulated it over the years.
Over the years, sure.
But the buy-in of getting a newer bike hurts me. I mean, I look at Santa Cruz's that I just lust after, and then I see the price, and I promptly close the website. Yeah. So, you know, there's those kind of things. Just because
comes in carbon, huh? Click. Oh, $6,500.
Exactly. Ooh, wow, that's on sale. Okay, no, but that's the thing. And you know, there's so many really good bikes. Salsa bikes are expensive and nice, and I mean, there's all – I could sit here and pretty much bring up a company, and they have a bike that costs that.
Totally.
And most of their good mountain bikes are over $1,000. I find that somewhat horrifying just because of my financial realities. If we're talking $8,000, I have to say, Kevin, I'm buying a car at $8,000. Yeah. I love mountain bikes, but an $8,000 payout, it better have an engine. I better no longer be pedaling.
I mean, I bet you could find an M Roadster for $8,000. Honestly.
Okay,
it'd be inexpensive. You could probably find an E46 or an E36 M3 for $8,000.
Yeah, well, but
it'd be high miles.
Back into convertibles again. But yeah, but Miatas all day long. Give the 86 platform a couple of years. It might be down there. That's horrifying to say,
true.
But that might happen. I mean, there's options there at $8,000, and I just couldn't do a bike. Yeah.
No kidding. Well, in keeping with that, I loved this question. Scimitar Star has said, instead of this phenomenon that is now TDC, he proposes another question. Who buys what kind of car? Like the Nissan Murano convertible, like the Pontiac Aztec.
Exactly. Who's this car for? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The Maxima, well, that's, you know, the Toyota Camry and Accord buyers that didn't want either of those cars and wanted kind of a large, inexpensive car. That's a Maxima buyer. But this could go on and on, to be honest. I mean,
it's
who bought Prowlers?
Yeah.
Who bought the Chevy SSR? Who buys the HHR? If you're listening, you have one of these
cars. The people
cars,
that used
like
to have the PT Cruiser and decided to move
on.
Hey,
we upgraded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same guy designed both cars, by the way.
I know. Brian Chevy stole them away, and it's unbelievable that happened. Yeah.
I think that's a hilarious question, but we could go on about a lot of strange cars that are out there, to be honest.
It's the who is this car for question, and you're right. It could go on forever. Let's see. We've also got there's so many good questions here.
What else?
Jordan asked on Facebook, he said, we talk about moving on to something new, moving on to a new car.
Yeah.
And he's saying, from our experience, how long do you think is a good amount of time to keep a car before moving on to something new? I get the feeling that Jordan's had a car for months and he's looking to trade up. I mean, it really depends on...
4 months in and you're bored?
Yeah, it really depends on what is your, I guess, tolerance for all of the changes that come with changing a car out. And it's not that hard, but there's just... paperwork and financial realities and hassle and all of that. How often are you willing to do that is question one. Question two is, how often are you able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had plenty of people that write into the podcast and like, well, I'm 30 years old, I've owned 30 cars. I'm like, when did you do all that? You know, because Paul and I, up until starting this show, Paul and I kept cars most time like 6, 7, 8 years each. We kept cars for a while.
Oh, yeah.
We are trying now to be much more specific about every couple of years to trade something out. And it is entirely taking our own medicine of just getting a new experience. We experience a lot of cars briefly, but an ownership experience is different. And so, I mean, like the Lotus that I have, I'm in love with it. But here's the thing. I still liked the FRS the day I sold it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'd had it for a couple of years. I felt like, all right, it's time to move on for the benefit of me, for the benefit of the show, time to move on. But I kept thinking, I mean, the day I sold it, I was like, that's a bummer that car went away. My son cried. This is how it went. He cried so I didn't have to. No, seriously. But no, that car went away and I
proxy
still...
Proxy crying. I love it.
That's the t-shirt, proxy crying. I'm making a note. That's at least in the title. Anyway, but no.
Have somebody else be sad for you that car went out of your life.
But no, that's the thing. There's
the definition.
As we've said before, there's no reason you can't sell a car that you still love. You don't have to hate your car to get rid of it. Conversely, you have a car for 3 months and you hate it, that's an awful lot of money to spend on something you don't like. So move on. Mm-hmm. But our average now is about every couple of years. That seems to be, okay, I've had a really good experience with this car. I've experienced it in a lot of situations. I can move on now feeling like I've really owned this.
Mm. That's an excellent question. Well, also on Facebook, Mark B. asks us our thoughts on the new Buick Regal Tour X. Mm-hmm. He has an irrational love of wagons, but this disgusting black cladding over the wheel wells, he says, detracts from the otherwise stylish exterior. I would argue that, Mark, and my counterpoint is the Audi A4 Allroad. Mm. Heck, go back to 03, the okay. A6 okay. Allroad, which yep. has similar looks to it. The Volvo, the XC60 Cross Country,
yeah.
I believe
yeah,
it was, XC90 maybe. The wagons is what I mean. They had kind of the same thing. I think this could be a new market, sort of new ground for Buick that would pull
possibly.
Them out of the, well, honey, is it a new Buick Regal or a Toyota Avalon? Which
maybe
is
we
it?
Get a Cascada because, you know, those apparently really are a thing.
There's one in my neighborhood, by the way.
I know. We just talked about it. That's the who buys this car question. Apparently it's that guy. Anyway, yeah.
Sir, why did you buy that car? Yeah, I think it's actually kind of new ground, and I'm excited for Buick. Mm-hmm. I think they could break into the Audi-ish all-road, off-road a little bit here
yeah.
and kind of pull it off.
I think it's really cool. I think that cladding should be an option. That's my response on it. I think there should be a version that is styled to be the, I'm not going to ever off-road this, I don't need cladding, and the version that is a little more, you want it that way. I think they should have, let's be honest, the Audi
yeah.
wagons do that.
Then you're competing against the Jag, the XF wagon, probably, which could look
that
cool.
That four people are going to buy.
Well, those four are going to be happy wagon
They're
owners.
They're going to be very happy wagon owners, yeah. But no, I think it's great. I love that it's here. I do wish it would come with an option when it has body cladding like that.
I'm kind of digging it. It just looks sort of like purposeful. Buick has a purpose in life now. Buick,
okay.
go somewhere. I don't know.
Their purpose is Buick. We're for China. That's the purpose.
That's true.
That's really the purpose.
All of our money comes from China.
Yeah, actually, Kenneth asked a question that got me thinking, and I kind of was surprised at my own response.
Okay.
His question is, he's talking about how the 86 twins are dropping in value.
Mm.
So they're getting to that place where you can buy one cheap, and it's only going to continue for the next few years. I think the bottom of those cars is 12-ish, I think. 11, 12.
Okay.
I think
okay.
they're going to kind of hover there for a bit. But we'll see. So it's everybody that didn't buy them new that really, really wants to be the second or third owner, and I am guilty. But so he's talking about those dropping. He's thinking about the fact that they are becoming viable as a car you buy to turn into something. It's your track car. It's your monster. It's your whatever.
Okay.
Like Miatas have been. Forever.
Sure.
It's that kind of thing.
Sure.
His question is, does tuning out of class still matter? This is what got me thinking.
Okay.
Here's my response.
They're cheap
Kenneth.
Enough now?
Here's my response, Kenneth. I think, I'm surprised this was my conclusion. I think tuning out of class still applies for the value of the car, the original value of the car. If you buy I'm just going to say it this way, a $15,000 86. And by the time you're done, it's a $40,000 car. That's tuning out of class and still doesn't count. If you buy that $15,000 86, and by the time you're done, it's worth about 20, you got 25 into it, the 15 you bought and 10 grand you did tune it, you're fine. You tuned it back
up.
Your price goes back
MSRP.
Up to the original range of the MSRP. Now I'm okay with it.
That's an interesting thought.
Because now you couldn't go out with your 30 grand and buy a better car.
Okay.
So that's where the tuning out of class thing, I think, becomes a little bit gray, because you bought it so cheap and you put money into it, and it's still the price or cheaper than it would have been new. Congratulations.
So go way cheap, go back up to its MSRP with parts
if you
mods
want to. I think that's where the dividing line is. And I was surprised to think it through that way, but I was glad Kenneth asked that question, because I thought, okay, yeah. You buy it for 15, you've got 10 to 12 grand worth of madness you can put into that car before I go, you know what, stop.
I think that's a pretty good idea. I'm still debating in my head. Anyway, I'll think about that a little bit more. Couple more questions from me. They're design related, which I love, of course. ER Zipperer on Instagram is talking about the 2018 Jeep Wrangler and said Jeep decided to remove the Jeep badge
mm-hmm.
because the grill is the emblem. And he's thinking of iconic cars and what other cars are instantly recognizable by their grille designs and have been for every generation. I made a short list.
Oh, good.
The Volkswagen Beetle and the Porsche 911 are both cars that have no grille, as a matter of fact.
Excellent point, yep.
And they are very recognizable from the front. Aston Martin, think about that Aston grille shape from the DB4 all the way on up.
Yeah.
The BMW 2002, of course, the kidney grills have to stay back.
Kidney grills on BMW forever, yeah.
Studebaker Champion. It's a torpedo grille, mm-hmm. essentially. Look up this car. Any of the 1930s Rolls Royces. Okay.
The Alphas. Alpha's been good about that.
Alpha's been pretty good. Alpha's, yes, has changed somewhat over the years. Jaguar E-Type. That is iconic.
True.
You look at that. You just know.
But I mean, but now you're into a car that doesn't necessarily relate to the rest of the lineup. I mean, like the kidney grills, that's a BMW. They're just kidney grills, period.
Yes. Yes. I was going to say the 02, they're the 2002. You know, the kidney grills change size and proportion and shape.
Absolutely.
They're still there.
Absolutely they do. Yeah.
67 Pontiac GTO for me is pretty iconic. Same with the 55 Mercedes-Benz 300 SL. You look at the front of that car, you just know.
Yeah, you know
it's
what it
the gullwing
sure.
Mercedes.
Sure.
And then the list could grow, but I'll stop with the Bugatti. Any Bugatti from any year, mm-hmm. the horseshoe grill, I mean, you just look at it. You know,
yeah,
Bugatti.
I know that for sure. Yeah.
But yes, there's plenty of cars I'm missing. If you have other thoughts, I would love to hear them, but I'll leave it there for right now.
That's good. That's really good. Let's see. I had another one here. Oh, Corey, who went on a pilgrimage trip.
He asked
a cool question. It's a little bit off topic, but let's run there anyway. Do we have any gear or software recommendations for starting a podcast?
Mm.
Corey, there's ways to do this where the entry level is really, really low.
Yeah.
And there's ways to do it where you can spend a lot of money. You want to spend a good amount of money, but it's excellent. You can go to B&H. We get a lot of gear from B&H Photo in New York. They have podcast packages that you can literally like – you can write in like podcast gear and it'll show you how many microphones you need. You need one, you need two,
yep.
you need seven. I mean, they'll give you like, here's the board and all that kind of stuff. And that's how we've been able to kind of stair step up through. That's if you want to spend some money to actually throw down a bit. But before that, hang on, the base level is go buy like $100 USB microphone that plugs into your laptop.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, please baffle it. You can put pillows around it. You can buy foam to put around it, but something to baffle the room tone and then get your mouth right up in the microphone so that we don't hear a bunch of room. You don't want the podcast to sound like this because that's terrible. Okay. So, I mean, even here, we've got some good microphones and decent setup, but if I step too far away from the mic, that's what happens. So think about it that way. And then you can use QuickTime, you can use GarageBand, you can use any program, honestly, that will record that input of that mic, depending on your computer. Any program that records that input is fine.
Don't record next to a barista in any coffee shop anywhere.
Ideally.
That's not the way to do
it. Ideally, somewhere somewhat quiet while you're recording, and then you got to figure out where you're going to do your uploads and all that kind of stuff. But the entry level is low, because again, USB microphone, you have a computer, you're kind of done.
The legend continues is asking about the design justification and analysis behind the 1 Series and the 1M in particular. Why is it ugly? He thinks it's one of the best looking cars BMW has ever produced. Well, I will say about cars in general, the way they're designed to begin with is that car. Then to build a performance version of them, designers like to flare the fenders and mm-hmm. drop the front spoiler, and they like to add parts to it. In some cases, it's successful. In other cases, it looks like what I've just described. It kind of looks like a little monster.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say it doesn't look bad, but I can't say that it looks beautiful and close to the original. Plus, those headlights, it's like you're pulling your eyelids kind of open. They're just a little bit too big proportionally okay. for the size of the car.
Okay.
The Oldsmobile Alero taillights are way too big. Lincoln's had problems with design of the rear end of their cars forever. They're just the proportion of taillights to the size of the car, and that's why there's all kinds of little design tricks you can do. But the 1M is cool looking, but I can't say it's beautiful. I love it too.
Yeah.
It's just so short wheelbase, stubby, squat, huge, big, wide open eyes, mm-hmm. and trying to shoehorn all these wide fenders and flares onto a car that was designed to be an economy car. Let's be honest.
Well, you know, to go back to the start of it, look at the base 1 Series. Get a picture in front of you of a base 1 Series.
Yes.
A 128 with the simplest wheels, and just look at that shape. It's kind of a weird shape. It's a very tall design. It's very tall and thin.
That's the other thing.
To the point of being a little bit out of proportion. And it just doesn't, if you look at it, it just doesn't feel like it's properly grounded. It feels to me like somebody pushed on both of the door handles and just squished it.
It's an economy car designed for Europe, for small parking spaces. So that's really the thought behind it.
That's great. That's a great point. So then when it gets to the 1M, you're talking about, they're shoving all this extra stuff in it. It has to get wider, and that adds the fenders. And I have always felt like the 1M is the automotive equivalent of a Bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people that are Bulldog owners are like, he's so cute. You look at it and you go, really? I mean, cute? I mean, I see it. I get the attraction, but it just looks kind of beefy and purposeful. And that's why the 1M is awesome. But it's gone that way from a car shape that originally I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Well, yes. So think about it in terms of car parts. The way the 1 Series was originally designed, you start with the design and then engineer the parts to fit that car. Mm. When you get to like the BMW M2, well, we're going to use the wider axle. Well, now we've got a wider track in the back, so we've got to flare and blister the fenders out to cover the part that we've decided to use because it's better, stronger, wider, faster, whatever. Hey, look, we're shoving a bigger engine into this car. Well, shoot, the hood doesn't close now. We got to punch that hood up and make a blister there, you know, things like that. So you start using performance parts. Then you have to cover them up. You got to, you know, make it fit still those proportions. And that's why things can get out of control very quickly. Some cars are successful. Other cars just kind of look like a Bulldog.
And I think the 1M is a shockingly successful iteation of
great.
The 1 Series.
It's just not,
I really do.
It's not a Jaguar E-Type. It's not beautiful and sensual and gorgeous. Yeah. And
interesting.
But it's cool looking.
But here's the great
GTRs
thing about...
GTRs are cool looking. They're not beautiful.
Yeah, fair point. Here's the thing about car design. It you do fall in love with something and find it attractive, and the guy next to you is going, really?
Yeah.
Which is nice. Yeah. I mean, that is good. That allows some variation there for sure.
All right. Any more questions before we wrap up?
There always are, but I think for now, I think for now that's probably good.
All right. So TC Car Guy asks us to build a dream garage with one car from each of the following countries, which I think we should for a later podcast. There have been many questions that we've got to put some thought behind these.
And spend some time. I really like that one. That's one we should probably try to cover next time. That'd be really cool.
Agreed. Guys, thank you. Huge thanks. We always thank you, but really it's because of your listenership. And as Todd said, rating and reviewing the podcast that has pushed us to consistently be rated in the top 10, if not higher. And we love that. We love that you're with us and following along. We're looking forward to season 3. But for now, welcome to season 2. Episode 6 is tomorrow on Velocity Channel, 7:30 Eastern. Again, thanks to our sponsors, and we're looking forward to it. Hope you enjoy it, and look for our stuff on Vimeo coming soon. Thanks, guys. Cheers.